Morning, everyone. So today we're reading from Ezekiel 28. Excuse me. I noticed my internet's starting to get a little bit shaky. So Phil, if it just becomes unbearable, feel free just to turn me off and take over. But I'll do my best. So Ezekiel 28, and the reading should come up on the screen, so you should be able to read along with us. Okay, so Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a god. I sit on the throne of a god in the heart of the seas. But you are a mere mortal and not a god. Though you think you are as wise as a god, are you wiser than Daniel? Is no secret hidden from you? By your wisdom and understanding, you have gained wealth for yourself and amassed gold and silver in your treasuries. By your great skill in trading, you have increased your wealth, and because of your wealth, your heart has grown proud. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you think you are wise as a god, I am going to bring foreigners against you, the most ruthless of nations. They will draw their swords against your beauty and wisdom and pierce your shining splendor. They will bring you down to the pit and you will die a violent death in the heart of the seas. Will you then say, I am a god, in the presence of those who kill you? You will be but a mortal, not a god, in the hands of those who slay you. You will die the death of the uncircumcised at the hands of foreigners. I have spoken, declares the Sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Carnelian, chrysolite, emerald, topaz, onyx and jasper, lapis lazuli, turquoise and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God. And I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you. And I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. All the nations who knew you are appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. I think that's where we're going to stop, actually, Phil Price. So we'll leave it there.
Hi, everyone. Let's pray again as we come to just think about this part of God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we do really pray that you would, as has already been prayed, please open our eyes during this time as we think about your word. And we pray particularly, Lord, that you would be at work in our hearts, changing us, inclining us to want to live your way and to love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. And particularly if you're connecting online, it's really great you can be with us this morning. We're in the book of Ezekiel again, and this is our third installment in our Glory Seeker series. In our first week, we saw that God was making his glory known to Ezekiel through an incredible vision of one enthroned above the cherubim. And we saw God in his chariot throne, as it were. In our second week, we saw that God was making his glory known to Israel through incredible judgments in that second part of Ezekiel, with that refrain, then you'll know that I'm the Lord. Well, today, this is our third, we're entering the third section of Ezekiel. And we're going to see here that God is making his glory known to the nations. And it's incredible stuff. You can imagine if Dave or I got up next Sunday and said, okay, Summerlees, today's sermon is a speech of judgment against the USA, against China, against Japan, Germany, Italy, and the United Kingdom. That would sound crazy, but that is exactly what's going on here. Here are God's people. They're being dragged into exile in Babylon, and God is declaring his sovereignty over the nations, and he's saying that he's going to humble the proud. In this section of Ezekiel, he deals with Ammon and Moab and Edom and Philistia in chapter 25. So all of those different places, all in one chapter. And later on, he'll look at Egypt and speak against Egypt over chapters 29, 30, 31, and 32. But this morning, I want to look with you at this prophecy against Tyre. And it covers a few chapters, but I especially want to look at this chapter 28. This beautiful seaside city was a wealthy trade center, and it was a melting pot of people. It attracted the best of the best. So imagine the ancient equivalent of French patisseries, Italian delis, German engineering, Silicon Valley technology, Swedish design, Colombian coffee, the Australian barbecue, Dutch oliebollen, Swiss chocolate, all of these things coming together in one city. Well, of course, the details are different, but that was Tyre. If you go back to chapter 27, you'll see a list there of all the goods, the foreign imports that Tyre acquired. Tyre was synonymous with wealth and luxury and beauty. It was perhaps the greatest shopping center in the ancient world. Even Solomon shopped there. And that's because the king of Tyre was a man of incredible wisdom. And you'll see that there in verses 3-5. He's compared with the likes of Daniel, infamous Daniel. Are you wiser than Daniel? Is no secret hidden from you? By your wisdom and understanding, you have gained wealth for yourself and amassed gold and silver in your treasuries. By your great skill in trading, by your great skill, you have increased your wealth. His wisdom, that is the king of Tyre's wisdom, had brought this city of Tyre incredibly great wealth. So much so that just have a look again at that language in verses 12 to 15. It says there, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. You know, all those ones listed there. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, like an angel. For so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in all your ways. What an incredible description. And in fact, this section of scripture, along with Isaiah 14, because of the language that's used here, has been thought to be a description of the fall of Satan or Lucifer, that ancient serpent, when the angels fell. And this is an interpretation that has a really long history. It actually goes back to the time of Origen, around 200, you know, the 200 AD period. But it was actually rejected by the reformers in the 1600s. So it's an old interpretation of a way of understanding this passage. But I want us to suspend that thought for a moment and to consider what this passage, what this text meant for its original audience. Because you can see there that this chapter is actually addressed in verses 1 and 2 and again in verses 11 and 12. It says there, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre. So you can see who it's addressed to. This is what the sovereign Lord says. And then again in verses 11 and 12, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre. and say to him, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. This passage, you see, may sound like the fall of the angels from heaven, or perhaps the expulsion of Adam from the Garden of Eden. But Ezekiel is explicitly addressing this chapter to the king of Tyre. Back in chapter 27, Ezekiel used the language of mast and deck and sails and oars to picture the seaside city of Tyre as a merchant ship sinking in the heart of the sea, a tragic shipwreck. What a spectacular image for this seaside city. But here in chapter 28, Ezekiel is using the language of Eden and garden and angel to picture the king of Tyre in all of his beauty and perfection. But of course, we know, don't we, that the city of Tyre is not a ship and the king is not an angel. If I said of my wife, you are my sunshine, the sunshine in my night, you know that I'm not making a scientific comment on the solar system. I'm expressing my hope and the hope and the joy that my wife brings into my life. She is my sunshine. And in the same way, Ezekiel is using these metaphors, this vivid imagery of sinking ship and angels, to express the wisdom and the wealth of this city of Tyre. It really was a kind of paradise, a utopia, an idyllic world of luxury and beauty. But something went wrong. Because in his wealth and beauty, the king of Tyre's heart grew proud. And in fact, it's mentioned there three times, verse 2, verse 5, and verse 17. We might say that it all went to his head. But of course, it was God, wasn't it, who we're told in this passage had created him and prepared all of his wealth and anointed him and ordained him to the position that he held. We know that it was God, but in the midst of his wealth, he began to think differently about his success. He began to believe in himself. He began to think that he really was wise. You can see that in verse 2 and verse 6. He began to not only think differently, but to talk differently. Have a look at verse 2. He began to say things like, I am a God. I sit on the throne of a God in the heart of the seas. And he began to act differently as well, didn't he? Because all of a sudden, his business dealings became filled with violence, we're told in verse 16. All of a sudden, his commercial ventures were found to be corrupt in verse 18. He began to lie to make more money. And you can see that the root of pride in his life began to produce all kinds of evil. He was filled with wickedness, verse 15. So God made a promise that he would send Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, against this city of Tyre. And chapter 28, verse 7, the chapter that we read, talks about God sending foreigners, the most ruthless of nations. So it's a bit veiled, the language there, but if we go back to chapter 26, which is also addressed to the king of Tyre, we can see that it's very explicit. We can see that this is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar would take away the very things that the king of Tyre took pride in. Verse 7, they will draw their swords against your beauty and your wisdom and pierce your shining splendor. You can see there that Nebuchadnezzar would prove the king of Tyre's mortality because he was claiming he was a god. But verse 9 says, will you say then, I am a god in the presence of those who kill you? You will be but a mortal, not a god. in the hands of those who slay you. Nebuchadnezzar would make the king of Tyre a public disgrace. Verse 17, the second half of that verse says, I make a spectacle of you before the kings. Verse 19, all the nations who knew you are appalled at you. But you might be thinking at this stage, well, that's the story of the king of Tyre. But so what? What does all this mean for us? Well, I think there are three things that I want to talk about briefly. Number one is that this reassures us that God is sovereign over the nations and that he will humble the proud. You see, with the capture of Jerusalem and God's people going into exile, you can imagine how much they needed to hear this message that God is sovereign and he will humble the proud. God is sovereign over the nations. And I want to say this morning that with all that's happening in our world today, God's people still need to hear this message. That our God is not just the God of Christians. He is the sovereign Lord over all rulers, secular rulers, around all of the world today. In fact, another exilic writer, Daniel, says that God removes kings and sets up kings. A proverb says the heart of the king is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he will. Again, Daniel says that those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Can you see how this is a great reassurance for us in a world like ours? But secondly, it warns us of the danger of pride. You see, the story of the king of Tyre has been a repeated story, repeated many, many times. It's become proverbial, hasn't it, that pride goes before a fall. A friend of mine recently posted on Facebook this comment. He said, beware of movements or groups predicated on pride. By aligning with pride, we are opposing God, and our fall will come. Instead, walk humbly before God and we will receive grace. Not all will reach the heights of the king of Tyre in his beauty and wealth and splendor. But his disease is pandemic. We may not say aloud, I am a God and I sit on the throne of a God. But in our hearts, we've all taken that same stand. See, pride is not just the swagger of the rich. It is a poor man's self-pity. It is middle-class entitlement. It is corporate competitiveness. It's the kid in the playground who brags, I'm better than you. It's the supermarket horror at plastic bags when you're using eco-friendly reusables. You can get tested for this disease for free, but it's not very comfortable. The symptoms of this disease include taking offense easily or frequent fault-finding in others, a harsh spirit of disdain or despising of other people. Another symptom is speaking of the failings of others, sometimes accompanied with laughter or an air of contempt, or a lack of teachableness, or putting on a pretense, or a lack of joy, or a hunger for attention, a wanting to be noticed. Pride plays behind timidity and shyness and feelings of inadequacy and self-pity in suffering, whereas humility is bold as a lion. It says, I am small, but my God is big. You see, the scary thing about this disease is that those who have it think that they are immune. Pride blinds people before it kills them. Oh, how we need help with humility. Because even our best attempts at humility showcase our pride. Something deep inside us has got to change. So what's the treatment? Well, firstly, there's a hard pill to swallow. We've got to swallow the truth that there is a God and it's not us. Secondly, we're going to need to take long baths in deep doctrines like the sovereignty of God or grace alone or faith alone and total depravity and unconditional election. Big words, but these doctrines will deal death blows to our pride. But you've got to be careful because knowledge puffs up. It's a dangerous field. And there's no vaccine yet. Not yet. You're going to need to wear protective clothing. In fact, all of you, Paul says, are going to need to clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor, grace to the humble. There's also a number of daily exercises that we're going to need to do. We're going to need to get very, very low in confessing our sins to others and to God. We're going to need to practice the praise push-ups, the adoration of God, thankfulness to God, praise of others, compliments, encouragements, words of affirmation. We're going to need to do the neck exercises of remembering, looking back very closely at the way God saved you, thinking of what you were before you were called. Not many of you were noble or influential, but God chose weak things, didn't he? Broken things. Remember that before we were called, we were dead in our transgressions and sins, helpless. And then we're going to need to do the neck exercise of looking up as well, aren't we? Looking up in wonder at the bigness of the grace of God, his kindness to undeserving people, and the majesty and the wonder of God's infinite perfections. And then we're going to need to finish off with some hand exercises of serving others. This will help to humble us under God's mighty hand so that he can lift us up in due time. But finally, we're going to need to take regular showers because what can wash away our pride? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So remember, pride is not a virtue, it's a vice. And remember that there are six things that God hates, seven that are detestable to him. And the first one he mentions is haughty eyes, proud eyes, arrogant eyes. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. God has shown us as mortals what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this account, this prophecy against the King of Tyre. And Lord God, we want to confess to you this morning that we are not unlike him. We may not have his wealth and his luxury, but we too are proud of heart. Lord God, we pray that you would, we pray that you would humble us. We pray that you would give us this mind of Christ that is willing to stoop down in serving and in humility and laying down our lives for others. We pray, Lord God, that you would help us with these disciplines, these exercises, these hard things to do. Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to be a humble people, to walk humbly with you. And Lord, we pray that in due time you would lift us up. We thank you, Lord God, that you are sovereign over the nations. We think about this world around us. Lord, we praise you that you are sovereign. You are over the nations, every one of them. All of the leaders and rulers around this world, though arrogant some of them may be, though puffed up with pride, Lord, we thank you that you are sovereign over them and you speak to them and you will humble the proud. Lord, we thank you for this and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.